All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, Tommy? Episode number 50. Look at us. The big 5-0.
Look at
Can
us.
Can you believe it?
Who to think? Yeah. Who to it is 50. Oh my God. That 50. Is so cool. We made it to 50 episodes. And hell, we're going to do another 50. We have a year anniversary in 2 weeks. Isn't that crazy to think about?
Yep.
We're How taking many the games week off. Have we played? We played a lot. Not 50.
More than 50.
Oh, yeah. True.
Technically.
If you count the demos.
Yeah. And packs and.
Oh, sure.
You know. If you count the demos. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well. It's going to be one hell of a last episode in 2 weeks, but we're going to have fun while we can. But we do have a great episode this week. We're going to be reviewing a game called Dungeon Divers that keys were provided to us from the dev, Wilson the Ball, published by Gigatank 3000, available on Steam for $4.99 and 10% off until September 12th. Which, if you're listening the day of this episode, you have one day to get it at 10% off. But before we get to that, it's been a busy weekend for both of us, I'm sure. What's going on? How you been?
I've been good. I just need to say the name of the developer and publisher is, like, amazing. Wilson the Ball and Gigatank 3000. Like, two great names right there. Two great names. Name your kids that. Yeah. Wilson, The Ball. And Gigatank 3000. Yeah. I've been good. You know, let's see. Football obviously started. So I was watching a good amount of that yesterday, which was fun. And then, you know, we had the games last week. So a lot of football lately. Also, a lot of doctor's appointments as well. Went to the eye doctor today.
Yikes.
I'm about to get some new glasses. That should be cool, I guess, because these ones literally, like, the lens just keeps falling out and I have to, like, try to repair it every time. And then tomorrow's the dentist, you know? So it's just a doctor-packed schedule here, you know? And I just realized I'm getting older. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
we're very old.
Yeah. Like when the eye doctor told me today that my prescription had gotten worse, I was just like, right. That happens. You know, it's been like a decade since I've been at the eye doctor. I forgot that my eyes probably are, you know, I need new glasses at this point.
You know, it's funny. Mine always got worse, like ever since I started needing them. And then the last time I went, I was like, I can't see as well. I need new glasses and new contacts. And they were like, yeah, it looks like you're the same. And I'm pretty sure they lied because my vision's still not where I want it to be. They're just like, yeah, looks good. And they just, I was like, all right. I do hate the dentist, though. I mean, not because I think that they're unnecessary or anything like that. I like taking care of my teeth. But I am currently in a feud with my dentist.
They told you had cavities and you found out you actually didn't or something?
No, that happens.
Okay.
So I went to, to be honest, I should go to the dentist more often, but I had not been to the dentist since I got kicked off my dad's insurance, which if you don't know, that was 2018 when I got my wisdom teeth out, and then I never went after, and then COVID happened, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna go have my mouth looked at. I don't think like anybody was doing that. It must have been a rough time for dentists, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
And then finally move back to this house that I'm in now. My fiance is like, I need to get a new dentist. I'm like, okay, we'll both find a dentist on both of our plans, whatever. And then if one of us switch over to the other plan when we get married, It's all good. It's all gravy. And we find one, we go, whatever. They're like, holy shit, you need to, we need to do some serious work. So come back in. I did them on Mondays and my mouth was numb for the podcast both times that I.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I remember it. That's actually, I had two appointments for like the same shit, like right around that time too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild. Yeah, the deep cleaning.
It was, you know, it was deep.
I hate it. Yeah.
It was like a scaling, I think, or something like that.
Anyway,
so they're like, yeah, come back in 2 weeks. We're going to get it pre-approved, right? Usually you have to pre-approve this stuff with your insurance. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. Don't hear anything. Show up for the appointment. They're like, okay, you just got to pay this much and, you know, have fun. You know, we're going to tear up your mouth for an hour. Like, great. Sounds good. I leave. Numb mouth. Go back. Do it again. Same thing. Just pay this much. Blah, 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 blah. And then like 2 months later, like, oh yeah, you owe $700. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I already paid like $200. Why do I owe $700? I was like, oh, your insurance didn't approve it. Okay, well, nobody told me that. I wouldn't have gotten the service if my insurance doesn't think I need it. I probably don't need it. And they're like, well, nothing we could do. I'm like, can you ask them again? And then they did. And I just got another text today. Oh, yeah, we need $700. So I'm going to not pay it. So I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. Maybe I'll give them $1 a month for the rest of my life or something like that. Because that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's very ridiculous. That's their fault.
Yeah.
But anyway, I hate dentists. Yeah. They're getting a spoiled milk for me today. But I had a good weekend. I went to Tampa, Florida, home of hot weather and crystal meth and other things. It is a wonderful
place. And the Buccaneers.
And the Buccaneers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was cool. Played a Flesh and Blood tournament. It was the world premiere of the new set for Flesh and Blood. So got to see all these new cards and open up cards nobody's ever seen before. That was super awesome. And people were getting pretty hyped. And it was a lot of fun. I did well some days, did not so well other days. It is what it is. Still had a lot of fun playing. And, you know, got to hang out with some buds. Was rocking with my boy Mo Bogsley all weekend, who's a nut. He's crazy, but, you know, I love him anyway. We cuddled up. I call him son. He calls me dad. We're not that different in age, but it feels like the dynamic. He did say daddy at one point. That got that went a little crazy.
Yeah. Like,
whoa. Okay.
Whoa. Take it easy, Sonny.
Hop in this bed with me. No, we split a hotel room, but it was a nice hotel room. So there was a pull-out couch and a bed. So it was perfect.
Nice.
And yeah, it was fun. Watched some football. Not a lot of football because I was playing more Fab, which I think is probably good. I watched like the Lions game or whatever. And I did something new this week. And I think actually it was better for my mental health when it comes to fantasy football. I didn't look at my fantasy scores till this morning. We're recording on Monday.
Oh.
I used to.
How convenient for you, Tom. we're reversing each other.
Yeah, we're reversing each other in our league this together. Week,
and he's beating me currently.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, despite Amon-Ra St. Brown not doing well last night, but this is not a fantasy football podcast. But it's better because why am I checking? I used to say it to myself every week. Play fantasy football, and I'm checking religiously. And I'm like, why am I checking? I can't change what happens. I have no control over this other than being stressed out about it. That I do have control over that. So if I'm watching a game and I know who I have in the game, I'll be like, oh, I hope this person does really well. And then if I don't, whatever. So like it was all good. So back home today, took a really long Uber ride from the airport. That was cool. Talked to my Dominican friend, Tyler. No, it wasn't Tyler. I'm going to hide his name for anonymity.
Okay.
But he was cool. But yeah, we got a great episode for you all today.
We do.
And we have some huge news. Oh my God. I saw this news come across my desk today and I was like, oh,
Oh my God.
We have a Discord, folks. Check it out. Get into the Discord. Look at the show notes. It's in there. I'll tell you what. It's in there, and it is popping in there, and you get to hang out with all these really cool folks. So check it out.
You know, I had heard that was opening. I can't believe it was so soon, though. You know? People talk on the streets. I've been learning of this Fresh Juice Discord, and I was like, it's going to take them a while to put that together. But no, it's already here.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It sure is. But we do have some real news. The Golden Joystick Awards return on November 21st with overhauled rules for indie games. Matthew, what does this mean?
Yeah, this is actually pretty interesting stuff here. So, as we know, there's been, you know, a debate of what, you know, is there a line between what an indie game is and what not an indie game is? You know, is it based on the funding for the studio, the size of the team, you know, who their publisher is, you know, all these other factors. So what the Golden Joystick Awards are doing is they're basically just creating a new category. So there's now Best Indie Game. And then there's also Best Indie Game Small Studio. So that specific reward is going to be for teams of less than 10 people. So if you're above 10 people, I guess, or I guess even, you know, any size can qualify for Best Indie Game overall. But then the Small Studio one is just for studios less than 10 people. So I don't know. I think it's interesting they're taking this direction. I think a lot of people were just saying, oh, you just need to like make it really clear like what the criteria is for like an indie game, right? But then you get into like a whole bunch of debates about that. So I think it's a really great idea to just be like, okay, we're just going to make another award and we'll just celebrate the smaller teams. So that way the small teams, you know, aren't going up against these gargantuan like publishers, you know, and things like that. The whole Dave the Diver situation. So I think this is great, you know. I think it's in a direction I didn't really think of how they could really handle these indie games. And also, just speaking of the Golden Joystick Awards, for those that don't know about it, it's basically like, I would say, one step beneath the Game Awards. And last year, they actually saw a record number of votes cast. And Baldur's Gate 3 like broke the record for most awards. It was 7 awards. So they get a good amount of like, you know, people tuning into them, and it's a well celebrated kind of event in the space. But just for those who don't know, because I feel like it's not really talked about a lot. You know, it's usually about the Game Awards, but So what do you think about this, Tom? Adding a new award for small studios?
Yeah, this is an interesting one because to be honest, we do see some games made by small teams that probably could win Best Indie and Best Small Team, but maybe if it's just getting Best Indie, they're gonna focus on some other ones made by small teams or something like that. But it's probably a net positive overall for the space, and just kind of like, you don't want to run into some issues like that, because like Balatro is just Local Thunk, right? As far as we know.
Yep. I believe so. Yeah. I know for mobile, I think he has a publisher, but I think for the PC and, you know, other versions, I guess PC was first, right? And then they did console, because I'm trying to think if he has a publisher for consoles. He might have just done it himself for PC.
Yeah. But,
I'm not sure.
We probably talked. I mean, it was out on console at the same time, I believe.
True. But, yeah. But he's definitely less than 10 people. So would, I think he could take it home this year for, you know, Best Small Studio.
I mean, we'll see. But there's actually some news about Balatro again, that this happened over the weekend. They announced mobile.
Yeah. Yep. September 26th.
Crazy. It's going to be on Apple Arcade and then the Google Play Store and stuff like that. Pretty huge. Not surprising. We knew it was coming just in time for our wonderful listener Coppola to get back from his honeymoon. He was like, oh, great. But you know what? It's pretty sick. I'll be getting it on mobile. I mean, I have Apple Arcade, so it's cost me nothing to have it on my phone, but it'll be interesting to see if it can grow even more. I mean, I imagine it will, because it's going to be like front page on all the app stores, right? and people are going to be like, even people who don't know it are going to check it out. I have a feeling we're going to see a surge of older people.
Yes. Yes. I was thinking that, yeah.
Because they're like, I love solitaire and poker and all this stuff. I mean, yeah. Like, I can say from experience, my fiance's grandmother has like 30 solitaire apps downloaded on her phone because she just keeps re-downloading them. But yeah. Balatro is going to end up on there 100%. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say about Balatro? Oh, so if when the mobile version comes out, because I know you use the Switch at the gym, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be switching over to the mobile version then and have to start from scratch?
So I'm two jokers away from 100%ing Balatro. And I've had a couple runs where I've gotten close. And they're really – one of them's not that hard to win with. The other one I feel like is. But I'm hoping to just do it by the time the mobile comes out. And I'll probably move to just playing on mobile. I won't play as much because I already kind of completed it, and I'll wait for the content update. I might start playing something else at the gym or something like that, like Wild Frost or something, as I try to complete that. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say, nah, I'll take a break, and then I'll just play more. But I am so close. I'm so close to 100%ing Balatro that I can't wait. It's hard. It's very hard, but that's what she said. And also Fish Lake. This is a game I started watching a little bit of last week. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah. So, Fish Lake, which is on Steam, is basically a $5 WarioWare ripoff. And apparently it's great. So this is an article from thegamer.com. Excuse me. And basically what they say is that the two main differences between Fish Like and WarioWare are that in Fish Like you use a mouse and keyboard, you know, and WarioWare you use a controller, obviously. And then WarioWare has story introductions for each segment, but Fish Like just throws you right into the mini games. And they said that is literally the only differences between the two. Like the rest of it is like heavily inspired by WarioWare. And it just sounds awesome. I mean, it's actually on sale right now, too, for 15% off. So you can get it for under $5 on Steam. And I'm probably just going to pick it up. I love WarioWare. I always had a good time playing it. And I just haven't thought about it in forever, to be honest. So when I saw this article, I was just like, oh, man, like this is like a no-brainer for me. So I'll definitely be picking it up. But what are you thinking about Fish Like, Tommy?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of it. It's a lot of fun. To watch. I'm sure it's a lot of fun to play as well. I never played a ton of WarioWare. I played like maybe one of it on the DS, I think. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I love that kind of like fast mini game gameplay. And this looks like it. And I also like, from my understanding in this, is you have to figure out, like, there's two game modes. Like, one will tell you what to do. We'll give you the inputs that you have to like press in whatever game. And then the other one is you have to figure out what you're supposed to do, which is pretty exciting. And fun to watch people like try to figure that out. So yeah, Fish Lake seems sweet. I think we're due for another Wario game. I think maybe there's one coming.
I think something in the realm of WarioWare was announced. I don't remember if it was a new game or if it was like a remaster of an old one. But yeah, I totally agree. And honestly, like the only thing like looking at this game where I'm like, I hope it's still as fun is just because it'll be using like mouse and keyboard rather than like, yeah, on the DS, that's the one I remember.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, you're using the microphone, you're like using the touchscreen. Like, is that part of it? Yeah. Like, you know, is that part of it? Like the part that made it the most fun, or is it like, if I'm just playing with mouse and keyboard, will it still be as fun? So but it's only $4. So either way, I think it's worth figuring out. But that's my only kind of reservation with it.
You're going to have to stream it.
Yeah, I could, you know.
That'd be a fun stream.
Yeah, I also just feel like it's a good game to, like, kill time. Be like, oh, I got 15 minutes. Let me just fucking, you know, pull up some fish, like.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be checking it out, but it definitely was fun to watch. And sometimes, like, games will just fall in that realm, right? Where you're just like, I like watching this. I don't think I'll ever play it, but it's fun to watch. But pretty cool nonetheless. Now, we got to talk about Dungeon Divers. Dungeon Divers. We are talking about this game. Dungeon Divers is a dungeon-themed roguelike puzzle game about clearing derelict dungeons. As the newest employee of Dungeon Divers, Inc., you must advance through multiple levels, use your wits and tools you acquire along the way to get to the core, to defuse it, and bring it home, and bring home the cash. Well, this is an interesting game, right? I would, you know, we'll get right into the gameplay. You know, you have a pretty straightforward tutorial. They make you play the tutorial first, and they kind of explain what's going on. To be honest, it was very overwhelming at first because it's a very different game than most things I've played. Now, there is one huge similarity, right? This is a Minesweeper-like. Right. But rather than trying to avoid the bombs, you're trying to find the bombs the in this grid. Right. So that it was a cool concept here. So I kind of enjoy the puzzle aspect of this game. So you get to these levels and you do the roguelike thing where you go through multiple levels and there's shops and you can find like different items to use throughout it. Yada, yada, yada. And as you increase the difficulty, you're going to have a different kinds of challenges in these puzzles, right? You start off with, you know, the first challenge to find whatever the bomb is, or the secret room, I think they're calling them, is you have this like little green grid. And if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see it. You can see this little green grid piece that will usually be the base of what you're trying to find, right? So it will be like the longest row or longest grids from this that's only connected to one thing. It's like very complex in terms of like the actual terminology, right? Because there are a bunch of different mechanics here and you have to find it and you find it, whatever. They'll help you, right? You hover over the goal and it'll help you kind of like figure out what you're supposed to do in the early easy runs, but then you have to start figuring out yourself. And then there's ones like, oh, this is surrounded by X amount of rooms. And then this other one is surrounded by X amount of walls. And then there's ones that are like, this is only in this specific area of the map and yada, yada, yada. So once you get the hang of this game, it is fun. I will say it is fun. However, that comes with the caveat that I found that getting the hang of this game, even at the easy levels, was a little daunting. And there's a couple reasons why. I just don't think that a lot of the gameplay was refined here. I think there's a lot of great ideas happening. And when you see the potential, once you kind of get the game, you're like, okay, I understand what's going on. I understand what they want, but I would have liked a smoother kind of journey to understanding that rather than this like, this is so weird. And maybe if I was just a little bit smarter, I would click right away because you feel pretty dumb. I felt pretty dumb playing it and that's fine. I don't mind feeling pretty dumb. I feel pretty dumb quite often actually, but I didn't like it when I was playing this. so I don't know. So I enjoy the gameplay here. It's not a very complex game, really, right? The inputs are just whatever. You're just clicking around like it's Minesweeper. Like I said, you're trying to find these secret rooms, but the gameplay has a steep learning curve. And I think once you get it, you're like, okay, I like this. At least that's how I felt. But I made it a point to get it because I wanted to review this game. right? If I was just a casual player of this game, I don't know if I would have gotten over that learning curve hump, right? And maybe that's a reflection on me. I'm not sure. But I don't know. Once you get there, I do think the gameplay is very fun and a really unique puzzle. And it is doing something very different than we've seen. Because this is the second Minesweeper-like that we've reviewed. And this is certainly way better executed. So those are my thoughts on the gameplay. What did you think? We're watching you play, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, don't judge me. But no, this was the easiest game of my life, I think. No,
it was you nasty boy.
Even though you keep seeing me die here on the gameplay, but I switch it to easy. So I totally agree about like the onboarding process. It was definitely overwhelming, but I was very into the game once I figured out how things work. And they do some things to kind of make it a little bit easier for you. Like you do have like it's shown on screen right now, like there's a guide, but although I don't feel like the guide really helps a ton, but it helps a little bit. And they also, for like some of the types of secret rooms that you can find, like when you hover over them, it'll show you like a bunch of question marks, and those are all like the possible areas for that room. So that helps a little bit, but it definitely, it has a kind of, I wouldn't say the steepest learning curve, but it definitely takes some like patience and some focus before you start really understanding how the game works. And I almost feel like, you know, we're not talking about story yet, but I feel like if this game had more of a story, it might help you visualize what you're trying to do. Cause you're it's dungeon divers. So you're going down in dungeons with your pickaxe and you're trying to find new rooms in this dungeon, right? You're getting weapons and whatever, like defeating enemies, things like that. But it doesn't really set up any of that too much. You know, it just kind of tells you, oh, this is the entrance. And you're like, oh, you kind of like figure it out from there. So, once we talk about story, you know, I can talk more about that. But I just feel like that would help with the onboarding process for the game. But once you get past that, though, I just had a great time. You know, I think it's a really well-made game. You know, like it feels like they knew what they were doing. There are a few things in the gameplay that I wish were better. For one, when you choose a specific difficulty, the path of rooms you have is always the same. So the actual like rooms you go into, I believe everything is like randomized. The Minesweeper field looks different every single time. So that's great. But you're always, you know, I remember in like the normal mode, it was always regular room. And then you move to basically you have a choice of two different kind of power ups that you want. And then it goes to another regular room. So there's always the same pattern of rooms. And like, I think something like after playing Slay the Spire, I was like, you know, this is like, I want this to be different every time. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know if they have a mode that does that. They have a few different modes, which is cool. There's like a challenges mode, and I forget the name of the other mode. Campaign, one thing I would like to see. Yeah, there's campaign. Yeah. One of the other things that I would like to see this game have, and maybe it unlocks at some point, but an endless mode would just be great, where you just keep going, you know, and see how far you can go. And, you know, maybe you could share that seed, right, with like other players, something like that, if they ended up randomizing kind of the path that you take. Something like that could be kind of cool. The gameplay I really liked, but I do think there's a lot of room for growth here with this game. I think they have a great foundation, which is really great, like going into another Minesweeper like, and, you know, we weren't really crazy about the last one. To be honest, I didn't have that high of hopes for this one. And, you know, by the way, keys were provided for this. I don't know. We probably mentioned that. Mm-hmm. But that goes to show you, even if we get the keys, I'm not going in with always the positive attitude. Right. But this game won me over eventually with the gameplay. Those are at least my thoughts on the gameplay. I think, overall, I liked it. But yeah, definitely some ideas there for how they can grow and evolve the game a little bit more.
Yeah, I think like they have this really great framework here, and the design is good, right? Like the core gameplay is really good, and I think you can build a lot about around it. I don't know if it's by adding some meta progression or something like that, or just kind of making it feel a little bit more procedural. You know, I think that would probably help. It did feel weird that like the campaign was just like easy, normal, hard, or whatever. Now I didn't really play with the other modes, be honest, because I couldn't beat normal mode in the time that I was given to play it. But I mean,
same here.
I was trying to beat it. I will say that. But
yeah, I got close.
But it is. It is a neat concept. Now, you did mention story. Now, with these roguelikes, you don't get a ton, right? And we get this character. I don't know if we ever get the character's name. This like kind of like orc-looking office guy who's kind of hired you to do this dungeon diving thing. And then you also have like the core that you're trying to find at the end of each run that has some kind of personality. But other than that, it's just like they built this world. It's like, this is what you're doing. You work for this company. Yada yada yada, and I totally agree with you. I do think that like some more story might have helped the onboarding, but I wasn't really looking for a lot of story, to be honest. Like, to be honest, if they had just created some kind of onboarding thing where you just, it just really explains the game well, and then you just went through these different rooms and like whatever, if you just narrowed it down to that, I think it could have been fine, right? You just like, almost like Balatro. I mean, we bring up Balatro a lot, but like Balatro kind of explains what you're doing. And sure, it's a little bit easier of a concept to grasp because poker hands, you know, exist forever. But if you can kind of get people on board like you can with that, then just going through runs becomes that addicting loop that we all know and love from these kinds of games. So I think that if they kind of could do that, they wouldn't really need a lot of story, but I can understand that maybe some story would help with keeping your attention during the onboarding here. But you had some thoughts there as well.
Yeah, no, I, you know, just it would be great. You know, it's such a cool name. That's what I kept thinking, like, as I was playing. And I'm like, I would love to have, like, I kept thinking of Boar Blasters. And Boar Blasters doesn't have a ton of story going on, right? But while you're doing everything, like, you're getting those radio communications, right? And it's adding to the overall kind of vibe. And, like, each level you're going down is a different type of mission, right? So they give you a little dialogue in the beginning. So I think it would be cool if it was kind of like that. Like, I was also thinking of, like, Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, you know, where, like, you're going through all these levels of these kind of dungeons sort of things. You know, deep in the cave system, at least. And it made you feel like you were like part of, you know, this awesome like quest, you know, or like part of this awesome team that does this all the time sort of stuff. So like Dungeon Diver, I was just expecting not a lot of story, but I was at least expecting like a little bit more character interaction. Like I liked the little bit that we had. I thought it was like well written and, you know, some of it was like just kind of funny. So I would just like to see maybe some more of that in this game. I know it's a $5 game, right? Mm-hmm. So like not expecting, you know, a ton, but, you know, I just think maybe having some sort of dialogue like in between kind of levels, or even just when you start a new kind of level, maybe there's like a different reason, you know, it's just kind of a, you just have like 20 different, you know, preset things and it could be one of them of why you're going down, you know, so it doesn't have to be like totally procedural, but I don't know, just something little like that I think would also just help with the overall vibe of the game. Because honestly, like while I was playing it, I sometimes forgot I was like diving through a dungeon. I'm just like, oh, I'm just I just kind of detach myself from that whole idea of like diving through a dungeon. I'm like, I'm just playing like a game that's kind of like Minesweeper and like that. I would just think of it like that, but I would like to be thinking more that it's, you know, it's Dungeon Diver. So yeah, just a little bit more story in that direction I think could have helped me overall. But it is what it is. It didn't really take too much away from the game. I just think it could add to the game, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, it's like one of those weird games where there's like a lot of factors that are good and just leave a little bit to the, like, be desired. And I think that definitely shows in the art too, right? I do think this is a very clean game. I really like the UI, but there's just something about it where I feel like I want something to be cleaned up. I can't really pinpoint it. I think it's on the sidebars here, right? If you're watching the game on YouTube, you know, I don't really love to, like, I don't really love seeing the alt mode kind of stuff, like the text and all this. Like, I think that is all well and good in the tutorial, but once you kind of move out of that, I would like that to be cleaned up. And this is all stuff that's probably really easy to clean up, I think. But besides that, it looks super clean and simple, and that's what it is. It's a very clean and simple game, and I just want it just a little cleaner, right? I can't explain it. I like the sprites, but there's something about it that just feels messy.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of how the icons are overlaid on the UI here, or I guess on the actual game piece. And that is, it's just, it kind of bothered me throughout the game, but like not in like a serious way, but I was just like, wait, why does it look like that? I want it to look a little bit different. So I don't know if you felt the same way, but it's definitely a really clean looking game, but I don't know. I was just being like, we're very close here. I don't know what I want. Maybe it's like a lot of the space, like when you go to the kind of roguelike map of you going through the different rooms, there's a lot of space there. It's like there's points in the game when it's very busy on the screen, and then there's points, like if you're watching right now, where it's not very empty. And it feels like this weird incoherence in a way that kind of was messing with my, like, visual perception of the game. But that being said, it does look good. Like, feel like I'm nitpicking, but it just kind of something that bothered me.
Yeah, I don't think you're like far off base there. Like, I think the UI in general could just be improved a bit, you know, especially like, you know, I do think the kind of guidebook that you get to, maybe having some GIFs in there, like something with a little bit of animation, because like it's kind of hard to really help visualize it, because it's showing you pictures of kind of this Minesweeper field with like numbers on it, and you can kind of like figure it out from there. But like, it would just be great to see like a little animation or something. So that would be great for the guidebook. But also, yeah, just like, I don't know. I kept thinking of like Balatro actually with like their UI, right? Where it's like, you always have, you know, really it's like the left side of the screen is like where all the stats and stuff are, and then the right side is where you're playing, right? So I think that this game, like, you know, could potentially just have that kind of left side of the screen where like that's where your currently equipped like item is, and your health and your coins, and like how many, you know, secret rooms you have left to find. You know, there could be, I mean, there's a combo meter right at the top. I mean, I would like to see that designed a little bit more, you know, cause it's, I mean, combos, it's exciting, you know, like Balatro, you know, you're getting the flames behind like your multiplier there. Like, it's just, I would like to see that cleaned up, definitely. But I do think like one of the most satisfying parts of the game for me is like when the actual Minesweeper field was like generated, it's just kind of like pops up like a little bubbly. And it's that I think that was well done, but I agree, in between levels it just takes a little bit too much time. Like, I would just like it to be like, you know, maybe tally up my score and then like just slide me over to the next one, you know. Like, I just feel like it's a game that doesn't really need like a lot of you know, just a lot of time in between levels, because sometimes you just breeze through levels. Like, it's just like, oh, you just had to hit two things real quick, and then you just got to wait. Like, you feel like you're spending more time waiting than you are actually playing the levels. And also, you know, on that left side sort of thing, you could just integrate, you know, the path that you take, right? And just show it there. If it's going to be the same for every single difficulty, right, then you don't need to see it really every single time, like in full, you know, in its full glory. You can just kind of see, oh, next level is this, next level is that, whatever it might be. Yeah. So I think those things definitely to be desired with the art. Outside of that, though, I mean, the icons look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it does have some character to it, which is good. I don't think they did a bad job with the art. I want to make that clear. It's just, these are just, you know, the game has potential. So just, I think improving these things would definitely go a long way. Yeah, I mean, really the only other notes would, like, I don't know, maybe like have it be a little bit more varied between the dungeons, you know, like, yeah. I know there's different types of secret rooms, but even just like the color of the blocks, you know, like, I don't know, give it a little bit more depth to it. Like they're basically the same color with like little smudges that are different, you know, maybe it would be cool to see what that would look like. It's weird. It is weird. This is like a weird game because I enjoyed my time playing it, but there was also a lot of notes I had about, you know, just, I'm like, oh, this one thing could be like really cool if they did this. Definitely one of those games where it's, I'm kind of conflicting. I've conflicting feelings about some things.
Yeah. And you know, when I give my rating, I'll probably echo a lot of those thoughts, but you're going to have to talk about the sound here because I was playing this on the airplane, didn't have my earbuds, okay. But I played a little bit last week, but I don't think I can remember correctly. You know, it all sounded good from what I remember, but you're going to have to comment on the sound.
Yeah. There's not a lot to talk about with the sound. And honestly, I wrote down like it's good thinking music, which is good because you're doing some, you know, you're trying to some stuff you have to think quite a lot about. You're like, it's almost like chess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought that was good. You know, it's kind of this like almost like spacey, but like, I don't know. Just sort of this like repetitive spacey music, if that makes sense. And it's, it wasn't bad. You know, I think overall, like it did what I didn't expect it to do, but it did help me think, you know, it got me in like that rhythm. But it's definitely not something where I'd be like, oh, this is definitely Dungeon Diver soundtrack or anything like that. And then as far as like the sound effects go with like, when you discover rooms, like there's a little kind of like, you know, like this, I don't know, sand kind of like stomping down sort of sound, you know, you're like the room just popped up in this dungeon. So that's, you know, that's well done. That's fine. I maybe would like there to be a little bit cooler sounds when it comes to finding some of the cool secret rooms. Like there's like a devil room and an angel room, but when you find them, I think they're on the screen right now. The red one is the devil and the blue one is the angel one. I don't know. It could be kind of cool to like, even like in the art department, you know, when you discover the devil room, like, I don't know, little like bats fly out or something like that. And like, you hear it, you know, or like with the angel one, I don't know, like some wings come out or like something like that. Just little animations. And I know it's a $5 game. I know it's a $5 game, you know, but it's, it would just be cool, you know, to do that because they're cool sounding rooms. I'm like, what's in the devil room? What's in the angel room? Yeah. What is this guy finding in here? So it'd be cool to just get like a little bit of a glimpse into that, in the sound department too. Again, no problem with the sound, but I would like to see it take the next step because I think it could be really cool. So again, that's what I'm saying for the sound, but, performance though, yeah. Everything ran great for me. You know, played on Steam obviously. And, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty lightweight game, so I would actually wouldn't be surprised if this went to mobile at some point. I think it could run on mobile. So
this is a game that I would love on mobile. I'll be honest with you. This is something that like is made for mobile, so I hope it actually does end up there. But yeah, I had no problems either. I was playing on my my shitty little Surface laptop on the plane. Yep. Totally worked fine. And it worked with my touchscreen controls too. That was kind of cool. I didn't even.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that was neat. Now let's get to the rating. Our ratings are as follows. You know, your best games ever, your certified fresh juice, your Balatros of the World, your Nope Apologues, a Steel Pepper Grinder. Get on sale. A lot of games fall into this category. These are games that you know, are kind of slowly missing the mark. Maybe wait till they're on sale, or maybe if it really is interesting to you, you can check it out. Certainly something that we'd still play. Manager Special, very niche. Maybe on a deep discount if it's like free to play. If it sounds somewhat interesting, check it out. And then Spoiled Milk, something that we would say don't even waste your time. Now, Maddie, what is your rating of Dungeon Divers?
All right. So with everything I've said, I am still going to give this a steal. It's going to be a low steal, but I just think this game, I mean, it's a $5 game. You can get it for like $4 and change right now. And it's just, I don't know. I killed a lot of time playing the game. You know, when I would lose, I'd be like, oh my God, I can do this. You know, like I kind of kept getting that. Like I just kind of focus more. I'm an idiot. I didn't count like the extra block, you know, things like that. So I had a good time playing the game. I thought it had a good, it was a good challenge. I do want to see it grow. So I would, you know, this could be potentially a certified fresh juice if like they implemented some of these kind of ideas here. Cause I think it has that much potential, but yeah, I'm giving this a low steal. I think it's worth picking up. You know, I hope they do some updates. I'd be excited to see what they do for this game. But what are you thinking, Tommy?
Yeah. So I'm going to give this game a high get on sale. And the reason is I just felt like there was, as cool as this game is, I felt like on every aspect, I just wanted a little bit more. And I do think it could get there. But I honestly would rather see, like, hopefully this does well, right? Because this is a really good puzzler, right? And if people really like puzzle stuff, they're going to flock to it. People will talk about it. Oh, I play this, like, pretty neat puzzle game. Check this out. If you really want to, like, you know, think about something, which This is that kind of game, right? Like, if you're going to get some thinkers. And I hope that it does well enough to warrant Dungeon Divers 2 or something, because I would like to see this idea taken and I ran with, if that makes sense, right? And just totally really explore what you can do with this kind of puzzle idea, because it is very unique, kind of taking Minesweeper and adding some chance to it, right? Because in Minesweeper, technically, you should be able to win every round, right? As long as you don't start with like a bad spot, right?
Yeah, I always do.
And this game, there are points where you do have to take a chance, right? You have to say it's either one or the other, but you also have multiple health here, so there are other outside like RPG factors here. You get some new items, whatever. So I do think this idea is really great. And some of the execution is good, but it's just so close. Just so close. I still think that it's worth picking up if you kind of like this idea. And I'm probably going, I hope it goes out on mobile or something like that, because this is a perfect time killer. If you just want to like play some puzzles real quick, this is like perfect. And even this is like a daily challenge kind of thing. If they got like some kind of daily challenge mode, I don't know if they have it in the game right now, but that would be really neat. So I got to give it a high get on sale, but there's a lot of positive here and a lot of potential. But yeah, Dungeon Divers.
Yeah, you couldn't be more wrong. All right. Everybody knows it's a low steal, Tom.
I mean, listen. You're wrong. I don't know. Honestly, like I could have been swayed to a steal, but I just stuck with my guns there.
I you know, I agree. I mean, it was close to being an on sale for me, you know. Yeah, I hope to see some cool updates pop up on Steam from Wilson the Ball, you know. Hell hope yeah. Wilson's working on it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And what if it was Tom Hanks all along? Now, next week we're going to be doing a game called Wild Bastards. See what that's all about. Curse words in a game in my Christian Minecraft server? This is crazy. my two favorite boys, my favorite teams. We do have listener questions, though. You can submit listener questions in the Fresh Juice Discord. The best place to hang out ever. Ever. First question comes from Capola, who's on his honeymoon right now. Congratulations. Capola says, or asks, I don't understand this first part, but since it's Monday, but I guess Capola's getting on the question train early. Mm. Since it's Monday, what Crocs video game collab would you like to see? So if you don't know, Crocs do a lot of collabs. My friend Mo Bogsley that I spent the weekend with was known for just wearing Lightning McQueen Crocs to every event. And that's pretty much it. But I don't know. What would you like here?
Great question. I'm going to go with Frogger, you know, Croc Frogger. And then like maybe they incentivize you to hop, you know, they're like, I don't know. Could be cool.
Okay.
Also, I did write down Croc, the video game. I had Croc 2, you know, so some Crocs. That could be kind of cool.
That'd be so sick. It's a tough one for me. I never owned a pair of Crocs, so this would have to be my first pair, so it had to be a really good one. God.
Yeah. Crocs are all right.
People like talk about them like they're the most comfortable thing in the world.
Yeah. I had one pair, like, I mean, years ago. It was fine. They're good water shoes. I wear them as water shoes. So but, true. You know. Anyway, what are you thinking? What video game, Tom, is collabing with Crocs?
Gosh. Let me think.
Oh. What about Dungeon Divers.
Dungeon Divers. Now, I always have this like recency bias, and I'm just like, well, what about Pepper Grinder or something like that? But I want to actually pick like a banger. There's so much Legend of Zelda merch that it'll just blend in. You want something that people are going to be like,
yeah,
is that so and so Crocs? And you're like, yeah, limited dish, one of one. I think Enter the Gungeon Crocs would be sick because the bullets kind of are shaped like a croc and you can kind of make them look like those bullet characters. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Shout out Enter the Gungeon. I do love that game. The banger.
Hell yeah.
Next question comes from Bags. What is a food you hated as a kid but like as an adult? For me, one is mayo. LOL. That's what Bags.
That was Bags.
Yeah, I've always liked mayo.
Yeah, not Tom. Tom doing LOL like unironically. You know, LOL. That's what it sounded like. For me, actually, there was a time. Though I have a few things on here. For those that don't know, I'm a more picky eater than someone like Tom here. Okay. Yeah. We've mentioned on the show before. I'm not ashamed of it. Okay. I know what I want. There was a time my parents remind me of it. I don't really remember it, where I didn't like burgers.
Whoa.
For some reason. So I mean, I love burgers now. I don't really remember this. It must've been like when I was really young. And then also there's the infamous story of the ends of the hot dog. I would not eat the ends of my hot dogs as a kid. I had to cut them off, or my parents cut them off if I was like really young, because I had a dream once in the house that I grew up in, where I basically walked in. I still remember it too. It's weird. It's like burning my brain. Where I walked into, I don't know, my parents' bedroom at the time, and my grandmother was in there. And when she bent over, the top of her head looked like the end of a hot dog. And I like screamed, and then I woke up. And I was like, I guess it was just burned in my head that I'm not eating my grandmother's head because it's the end of every hot dog for some reason. So yeah, that's another one. And then mayo, actually, I'm more into mayo now. I like mayo based things more now, I would say, more than like just mayo. Like I'll eat mayo. But it depends what, like if it's too much mayo, it ruins it for me. I can't have too much, but I'm good with like a bit of mayo. And then also more recently, rice balls. I love rice balls now. I didn't realize how good rice balls were.
Oh, right? like a arancini rice, like an Italian rice ball. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, Italian rice balls. Yes, yes. And then sausage as well was just, it was something I never really had a lot as a kid. So I didn't really have it, but now I'm like getting more into sausage. I try, you know, all different types of sausage and stuff, and it looks really good and it tastes great. So yeah, that's as a picky eater, I had a few things to list there. So that was a good question. Tom, what did you think of something yet?
This is hard actually, because I've been thinking there's stuff that I used to eat that I don't eat anymore. Like I stopped liking as much, but in terms of, God,
what haven't you eaten as a kid, Tom?
What
that you still don't eat? Yeah.
Oh, like that I don't eat now? Like I?
No, no.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Like the opposite of this question.
What? Yeah, or no? What didn't you like? Yeah, as a kid. Because that's the tough thing, right?
That is the tough thing.
Yeah. You like pickles as a kid? Yeah.
Always
like
pickles.
Okay.
Always good. Liked good. Olives in some form or fashion. I would fall in and out of love with olives.
Yeah.
What
about like a type of soda or something? That might be an easier one. If like you didn't like it as a kid, you don't mind it now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hated whiskey as a kid. I was like, this stuff's gross. Why does anybody drink it? No, I drink it all the time. Jeez. There's gotta be a fruit. There's 100% of fruit.
Okay.
Which one is the question?
Let's see. Dragon fruit.
I don't think
pineapple.
No, I always liked all that. Maybe it's another fruit. There's got to be a veggie. No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
I've Swiss always
chard.
I don't think I was messing around with Swiss chard in general ever. I mean, like I'll eat it now. Yeah, this is a hard one for me to answer. I'm going to be honest with you because I always ate a lot of things. It's the things I didn't like when I was a kid were things that like had textures that fucked with me. So like I loved green olives, but then one time I ate a green olive that still had a pit in it and I bit on it. I was like, I don't like that anymore. Even though I liked it. I really like the way they taste. But even now when I eat a green olive, I'm like waiting for that, like that hard, like
shell. Defense.
Yeah. To eat the defense. And then like, if you ever had like grizzle in like a chicken or something like that, like a piece of fat, I hated that as a kid, but I still like chicken. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I used to eat more yogurt when I was a kid, but I don't eat it now.
Okay. Yeah. Any type of yogurt, right? Even Greek.
Yeah. I mean, I like a tzatziki sauce, which is basically a Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
But they're doing something to it. I don't know what they're doing to it.
They're dilling it up.
They're dilling it up. They're dilling it. And sorry, Bags. I've always had impeccable taste. Peanut butter. Peanut butter.
Oh, so you didn't like it as a kid?
I was pretty anti peanut butter as a kid. Like always pretty anti peanut butter. And then I realized I just didn't like peanut butter and chocolate together.
Man, you got something against peanut butter. I've never seen someone so against something so great.
You know? I like it on its own, though. I've realized that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just slam this. This is really good. And even like peanut and like I like peanut butter in like savory settings and stuff like that. Yeah. And I like smoked salmon. I wasn't really into that as a kid, like lox, but I like that now. Yeah. So there's some things.
Yeah, they're all coming up now.
They're all right, coming up going. Now.
Yeah.
that was it, really. but yeah, that's
good. Question.
Great question, Bags. Yeah. And Arcarp, out of nowhere with this great video game question. What game has the best endless mode ever?
This is a tough one. Minecraft. Now, technically, what game is the best endless mode ever? Tetris? You know? Endless Tetris?
I was thinking that. Maybe Pac-Man?
Yeah, Pac-Man.
Asteroids.
Yeah.
Space Invaders?
Yeah.
I used to play a updated version on the PC, like a computer game. I don't even want to call it PC. It was a computer game back when we called them those, right? Yeah. It was an updated version of Centipede.
Oh, cool.
That was pretty sick. But yeah. Centipede was also one of my faves as a kid. I had a Game Boy game that had a bunch of classic those kinds of games on it. Pac-Man. I guess it was an Atari thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Asteroids, all those bangers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good stuff, you know?
Endless.
And yeah, so is that also, I mean, are there games out there? I mean, there's games that have endless modes too. You know, it's not typically like we wanted for Dungeon Divers, an endless mode would be cool.
Balstro has a great endless mode, right? Because you're how far can I take this? And then it gets scales up pretty crazy. Norp Apologue's kind of an endless mode, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
Vampire Survivors?
Yeah.
Is that endless?
No, I mean, I think you can be good enough to get past 30 minutes or whatever. Mm. Oh, I think there is an endless mode though. Yeah. I was also thinking, I love Call of Duty Zombies. That's technically endless, right? I guess. I don't know if there is really an end to the OG zombies and stuff, but played a lot of that. So I might have to go with that one.
I think my favorite endless is Shrimp Fest at Red Lobster or whatever it's called.
This episode is sponsored by
yes, Red Lobster. I don't even think they're open anymore, at least the ones near me.
Yeah.
Rest in peace Red Lobster. Anyway, that's going to bring it to the end of the show, but we do have to go to the Rec Room first, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. In my case, it is an indie game this week, but what are you recommending?
Yeah, I am recommending. My wife and I watch Bel Air, which is on Peacock. It's the kind of reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but it's more of a drama. Still has comedy, a dramedy, I suppose. It's good, but what is great about it is that the soundtrack, we kept hearing songs as we just finished the latest season. It was 10 episodes. There was probably a song per episode where I was I'm adding this to my Spotify. And it's hip hop based stuff, but it's stuff that's this is really good. But the cool part, the reason I'm recommending the soundtrack for Bel Air is when you look up a lot of these artists, I looked up the one we were watching an episode last night. I liked a song. I looked up an artist. 100 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Whoa.
And they're in an episode of Bel Air, which is produced by Will Smith, I think. And I'm just this is awesome. Another one was 600 monthly listeners. Another one was 2000, all these really small artists. And I just think that's so awesome. So I'm I'm definitely adding this to my Spotify because I'm going to support, I like the songs, but it's a bonus that I'm oh, I'm supporting the smaller artists that I found through a show where you would think they'd just be using kind of the hip hop that is on the radio, right? I mean, it's Bel Air, so pretty cool, pretty cool stuff. So now I'm going to go back through the episodes and look up their songs and be do I remember this one? Was this a good one? But yeah, so recommend the soundtrack and the show if you're into like Fresh Prince and like kind of a new take on it. It's actually like pretty solid. So yeah, those are my rec rooms then, those two right there. But what about you, Tommy? What's that indie game?
It's actually a game that I recommended like the playtest or the demo a couple months ago. It's called Necro King. It is out now. It is a, I guess, like turn-based, roguelike, a little bit of deck builder. It's got a lot of elements to it. It's it reminds me of that Willem Dafoe meme from TikTok. He's gay. He likes classical music. There's a lot of interesting things about him. No, just like, it's a pretty sweet game. I'm really enjoying it. I'm excited to play more of it, actually. And to be honest, you want to talk about a $5 game that is like really fleshed out? This is one, and is also on sale for 10% off right now until September 18th. So if that's your jam and you like to kind of check out like new deck builders and stuff like that, try this one out. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I love the art style. It is a lot of fun, and I've been enjoying it, and I can't wait to dig into more of it. So far, it's been so sick, dude. But
hell yeah. That's awesome. I didn't realize that game was $5, too. So that's even better.
$5 arenas. Pretty sick.
$5.
They don't do $5 footlongs anymore. But
dude, I saw it. It was like they were like advertising. It was like during the NFL games or whatever. And they were like, Subway was all happy that it was a $6.99 footlong. And I like, it was like a deal. I'm like, I remember it's like $5 footlong. That's what people think about when they think of Subway. It's like, you can't fool us.
Yeah. Like you can't, that's like a lesson to be learned. You cannot make a song, a jingle about a price because the price will change. And if it's a good jingle, people are going to remember it. We remember. Yeah. Pepperidge Farms remembers.
Never forget.
It's a jingle that has nothing to do with a price or a tagline or whatever. But anyway, that's going to do for the show. Another banger. Getting close to a year. Can't wait. 50 episodes. Ooh-wee. It has been a banger of an ep. Dungeon Divers. Hopefully you all check it out, maybe, if you like it. And let us know, actually, in the Fresh Juice Discord. You can find me on Twitter, though, or X, or whatever, at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. This week, I'm having the class designer from Diablo 4 on. That's crazy. Ooh. Charles Dunn, who has won a national championship in Flesh and Blood, also is doing pretty cool video game stuff. So if that sounds interesting, go check that out. And you can find us on all socials, though, at Fresh Juice Pod. And Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials. Back on the YouTube grind there and been streaming a bit. So feel free to pop in and say what's up.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, Fresh Juice Kids? Goodbye.